Elise Stefanik, you've been to Afghanistan, to Egypt, to Saudi Arabia. What are you seeing?
Well, this was part of a delegation visit with my House Armed Services Committee colleagues. There were five of us that went on this visit. And for me, the priority was visiting with our 10th Mountain Division soldiers who are currently deployed in Afghanistan. I was able to visit with them in Bagram and also in Kandahar, the southern part of Afghanistan, and show them our support during a holiday time when people are usually with their families and thank them for their service. In addition, what became very clear to me is obviously this travel happened over this past week, and that's post-Paris. And globally, we're seeing an increase in the role of ISIS and the destabilizing effect it's having within the region, not only in the Middle East, but in places like Afghanistan and in Europe. We're obviously seeing after the attacks in Paris. So my takeaway from the trip is we need a coherent policy to defeat ISIS, and we need a strategy in the Middle East. And our allies are not seeing that leadership from our current commander-in-chief. Our allies, especially in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, are seeing the rise of the influence of Iran in the region. They're seeing the rise of the influence of Russia, and that's filling the void of American leadership. Not having a coherent Syria policy is directly tied to the rise of ISIS that we're seeing in Syria and Iraq. And that's my concern, is making sure that we have a policy to defeat ISIS, that we're working with our allies and showing American leadership in the world.
You know, I'm hearing you. What would you do if you were the president right now? Would you put boots on the ground?
I think we need to not take options off the table. And I think that earlier in the crisis in Syria, and there were many groups that had called for a no-fly zone, for example, or a safe zone in Syria, more support for the anti-Assad, Syrian activists which are being targeted by Russia right now, who's propping up the Assad regime. This is not having a Syria policy has led to this humanitarian crisis. And I also, unfortunately, I think the lack of leadership in securing a status of forces agreement in Iraq, the way that we have in Afghanistan, led to a void. It led to the fact that the Iraqi security forces have not received the same skill set and training and advising and assisting the way we're doing in Afghanistan. And obviously, it has been written extensively how the security forces in Iraq did not have the, quote, will to fight. And we've seen ISIS taking over geographic territory and large cities. I think this president should have had a policy sooner to both deal with have a status of forces agreement in Iraq, but also have a coherent policy in Syria. And, I had an experience earlier this year in a committee hearing on the Armed Services Committee. There was an appointee in the Department of Defense, and I asked her, what is your Syria policy? And it was not a clear answer. And obviously, we're seeing some of the consequences of that lack of leadership today.
I want to change from foreign policy to climate change. And I know that you have signed on with our pal Chris Gibson's climate change measure, and we have Paris going on right now. What do you make of this? I think this is the number one crisis in the world. After all, this is us, all of us. What are you making of what Chris is proposing, and what are you making of the challenge?
Well, Alan, I believe that the number one crisis we are facing, and what is a global crisis, is the rise of terrorism and the rise of ISIS that we're seeing throughout the world, frankly. I do think it is incredibly important that as we discuss the future with climate change, it needs to happen globally. If you look at developing countries like China and India, they have to be a part of the solution. But I also think President Obama needs to do a better job reaching out in Congress. In terms of the rules and regulations, it is much more effective to build buy-in and support working with the legislature, which Congress is. We're the closest to our constituents, and I have a lot of great ideas about research and development and renewable energies such as biomass, which is a growing sector in my district, and we're seeing the positive impacts and the job creation that results from diversifying our energy sources. So, I want to solve this legislatively, but I think that, participation globally is important because you have to get China and India and countries like Brazil at the table in order to combat this.
I agree with you that ISIS is a terrible problem, but I don't see how we can say that climate change isn't number one when the entire world and its climate and its future is at stake.
Terrorists are killing people today. This is the number one problem we are facing. It's no longer limited to the Middle East. We've seen the attacks on terrorists. We've seen lone wolf attacks. The rise of terror is an existential threat to civilization, frankly. And that was a takeaway from my visit with allies in the region, in discussions in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, and Afghanistan. So for me, we need to have that is something that, as a world, we need to work with our allies to combat. And unfortunately, you know, I hope and pray that we do not see another attack. But you know, because it
is. But you know, we will.
Well, it's not a centralized group anymore with social media, as much as that's a benefit for being able to communicate in new ways. It also makes groups, unfortunately, less centralized, and you're seeing smaller and smaller cells. You're seeing individuals planning attacks, and we just need to work and share information, share intelligence with our allies to make sure that we're able to have security in this world.
Mm-hmm. Lee Stefanik, what's the difference between Speaker Paul Ryan, the new speaker, and his predecessor, John Boehner?
I think there's a generational difference. There has been a turning of the page generationally. I also think Paul, Speaker Ryan, has made good on his promises to open up the process. Both Democrats and Republicans have seen an increase in the number of amendments that are being considered on the floor. We're also, you know, Speaker Ryan has challenged us to really focus on good policymaking. So if you have a good idea, as a member, you need to work hard to convince your colleagues to co-sponsor your legislation and be an advocate for policies. And I think he's providing more daylight in the process of how a bill is brought to the floor. And I think he's gotten a lot of support across the aisle on that. And I think Paul's perspective, having served as a committee chair, having also negotiated agreements with this administration, he brings, despite the fact that he's the youngest speaker in 100 years, he brings a heft of getting things done and that experience that I think was very needed in the speakership.
Are you indicating that the level of sort of toxic partisanship is going down under his leadership?
I think the process is more open. So it's more straightforward for rank and file members of Congress to understand how they can, you know, move their legislation through committees, how they can bring an amendment. It's less top down. It's more bottom up. I think that's a reflection of what, frankly, we're seeing in the private sector with more consumer involvement when we see companies like Uber. I think we're seeing a little bit of positive disruption in Congress in the way things work.
We've been talking to Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, New York 21st District Republican in office since 2015 and accomplishing a great deal. We'll talk about that the next time we come back.